thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. Broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest Studios, I'm Ms. Shannon, and once again here with my good friend, my partner in crime, Jayton Satia, Executive Director of the Twin Cities Film Fest. Hello, Jay.
Hey, you're very yellow. You're glowing today. Not that you don't glow all day, every day. But
I know that we were in Minnesota, and I am going full in on spring, even though it's not officially spring yet. I am over our winter, so I am trying to speak truth to power with my bright lemony colors.
I yelled out speaking truth to power when my basement started to leak because of the said spring in place.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of other people are experiencing, where is this water going to go?
Right.
Water finds ways.
We had snow, then ice, then snow again, then rain and rain and rain.
Right.
So for anybody who's listening to Be Our Geek and you're not here in the Midwest, you are very fortunate because we are having the most weather. I learned a couple of things about weather.
We have had
the most weather ever. And so here's what I've learned throughout this particular Minnesota winter, because it's been so extended and prolonged that our National Weather Service Twin Cities, who I follow on Twitter, shout out to the National Weather Twin Cities.
I know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic. So I follow them on Twitter, and they have got to use all their weather words, like every weather word. So here's one of the first thing that I learned.
No way.
Yeah. So the first thing I learned is the word grapple. G-R-A-U-P-E-L. Grapple. So
that's not a wrestling term.
No, not grapple. Grapple. So what grapple is basically a wintry mix that is somewhere within like a little more aggressive than sleet, but not quite hail. So that's grapple.
I didn't know there were variations
there
of things falling down besides snow and rain.
Nope. So now we have this new thing. So we have grapple. The next thing
so
that I learned.
We have had grapple.
We had grapple. So a couple of weeks ago when you thought, is this freezing rain
like,
or is this like, what are these little ice pellets? They're grapple.
Not hail.
See, not hail. So if it's like ice pellets that are kind of the size, slightly larger than a large grain of rice, that's grapple.
Gotcha.
So I learned that. Here's the next thing I learned. Ponding. P-O-N-D-I-N-G. Ponding.
That's not ice hockey on pond.
No. What it is since we've had so much rain.
Yes.
And then we're going to have all of this snow melt.
Yes.
Someone asked them if there was going to be any flooding. And their response was, we don't see any flooding in the forecast, but there will be ponding. So ponding is if you have really large puddles. We don't call them large puddles anymore. It's like if you have, so those big, giant, like, what is that?
Yeah.
And it makes sense. It's very self-explanatory. Yes. So if you see a puddle that you're like, oh, I don't want to drive through that because my car will hydroplane. Now, you know, it's called ponding.
It's technically not a pond because it doesn't exist.
No.
Really.
It's a new pond.
And actually, is there
a faux pond?
Is there a word, but I guess this is more of a construction word, but, you know, those giant, giant, giant potholes.
Oh.
That are literally wrecking havoc on people's cars right now, but they've been masked.
You know what
for
they're calling?
Last 3 months with ice because you can drive over them because
yes.
they're water and then they freeze and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, it's just I'm driving over ice. And
here's what ice, like here's
giant.
What I know those are called, and I just noticed it because I passed one of the electronic billboards that talked about it, and so they called it a road event. They called it a road surface event.
A road event.
A road
like,
surface event is
like
what
somebody
it was.
Ordering a pizza as they're driving and to be like, yeah, I'm on 35, bring me a pizza, and that's a road event.
So I think that this is just, it goes back to why it was a good thing for us to start our process. You know, you and I started in the last episode, pass the passwords.
We did.
So what we did is we was like, you know what? There seems to be a number of shows that are on streaming services that we don't watch.
And tons and tons and amazing, probably.
Yeah.
And some not so amazing.
So
but we don't know what we don't know.
No.
So we came up with this thing.
Yeah. And we kind of said, well, you know, we kind of have movies on lock because you are definitely, especially with, you know, everything you do with the Twin Cities Film Fest.
Yeah.
You know, you do that. I go to a lot of movies as well.
Yep.
But we don't binge all of the time
Correct.
As we should. So
Correct.
Pass
we
the password as you mentioned before the show started, is off to a slow start because we gave each other like too much homework, I think last episode.
I think we got too excited too soon.
Right.
And even though we said, yeah, we got 7 days to make this happen, we also have our lives to make happen and our work and
family and
all
children.
The normal stuff that you normally watch too. So we weren't going to, like, I didn't put any of my other normal watching habits aside.
Correct.
Like, I made time for additional things.
Right.
Which is fine. But I did not get as far as I thought I would.
Right. And I tried to go, am I in the right mental headspace for some of the shows that you gave me? Like Narcos and these other things.
Oh,
like,
that is not a happy-go-lucky.
No, and I needed a little more joy in my life, so I didn't even start that
one.
So
you did not watch Marie Kondo?
No. You know what I did watch,
that's
though?
The packing thing where she says, keep everything that sparks joy, get rid of everything else.
What I do watch when I want to feel like that, though, is there is a Netflix series called, a Netflix show called Minimalism that makes me feel good about all of the things that that's one of my soothing shows, that Great British Break show. I was looking for those kind of things.
Last night we started Queer Eye.
The new season, nice. Okay. Okay.
My sister-in-law. So that was nice. That was
I want to watch that. Okay, I want to watch that because I do enjoy Jonathan. I was a big fan of Jonathan. When
Not at the very beginning, but that he is definitely won over my heart.
But I knew Jonathan when he was doing Gay of Thrones, and so I was a big fan of him as a comedic hairdresser, actor-y guy when he did that. And so what I did get to watching, okay, so you and I both got to, because we chatted back and forth this week, we both got to one of our Pass the Password homework shows.
Yes.
That was The Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
The Umbrella Academy, which you can find on Netflix. It was released last month, so we're not even that behind because of the tail end of February, so you get that one. And The Umbrella Academy, I think, is a very interesting show because it's about it's a comic book-based show, like so many other things that are out there, that was written about a comic book series that was written by Gerard Way, who we know from My Chemical Romance. And this is a perfect thing for what's going on in my life right now, is because I've been feeling kind of emo because I had to put my current gentleman caller on pause. Mm-hmm. So I was already like sitting there and I'm like, I got through a lot with My Chemical Romance. You guys remember this one?
This would spark joy.
Everything going on. The thing about My Chemical Romance and the thing about Gerard Way is that if you are a My Chemical Romance fan, the Umbrella Academy series totally makes sense.
It does.
It kind of, and it's very music driven, which I wasn't expecting.
Which,
like, the soundtrack is dope.
It actually was a very pleasant surprise. I think I'm in love with the soundtrack.
Yes.
And I haven't been as far as you have. You've actually.
I already told Jason.
You don't.
I told Jayden, I was like, because here's what happened. Because since I suddenly had no plans with the gentleman caller, and I was feeling just a little bit, I should just stay in bed because that's what I'm like, you know, if I go out right now, I'll make bad life choices. So I decided
today's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, people might make some
bad life choices. So I just hunkered down and barely left my bed. And so that gave me enough time to not only watch The Umbrella Academy in its entirety, to start afresh and watch it a second time. In almost its entirety before I dozed off.
So you watched the entire series. So there's
ten
episodes.
In a day and a half.
In a day and a half, twice.
Yes.
Twice. When did you sleep?
I didn't. I would like kind of doze off and then wake back up and then back the episode up a little bit.
So I'm episode 8.
Okay.
I'm episode 8. And the way I was talking to, the way I binge shows, or at least the way I consume content, if I really enjoy it, I will take my time with it, as if, again, it's not necessarily the back in the day when you know once a week episode that comes out on live channel 5 and you just watch that. No,
right.
Not like that. I mean, I would watch 2 episodes at a time. Plus, I also don't have 10 57 minute blocks in a row.
Well, I'm not going to. You could if you decided to get divorced and then get rid of your child.
Really wanted to. I could.
But that was a fluke. My son was with his dad, and I suddenly was like uber single. So that's the only reason I had that much time.
So let's talk a little bit again.
But I think it does give you a good indication of what the Umbrella Academy does, because it is that in-between tone and tenor. It's definitely a dramedy with superheroes.
So when I went into it, my wife kind of put it, when she first watched the trailer, and she watched the first episode again with me.
Right.
I watched it. I'm like, you'd enjoy it. And she was like, it seems too much like Lemony Snicket. Like the
it does have that
like that trailer
the
vibe.
Color, actually, yeah, the palette of it looks similar. Palette. Yes,
like
it,
and I can understand that. And she enjoyed the first episode, but it's not a. I don't think I need to wait on her to finish it.
Okay,
those things.
There's it's dark-ish, is what I call it. It's not completely dark, but it is dark-ish.
It is dark-ish, and I think I enjoy. I enjoy that color palette,
right?
Because I'm going into it in more of that fantasy land anyway, so mm-hmm. I need a little bit more of that. Not necessarily graphic. The graphic novel vibe.
Right.
But I definitely get it with
yes.
their choices, with the set designs, with the, even some of the language that they use.
Right.
It teeters.
And I don't feel like it goes all in on every swear word, and it's violent, but it still distanced itself from the violent. It wasn't.
As far as the casting goes, too, I think it's very well cast
right.
overall, and I think when you throw in a Tom Hooper
mm-hmm.
in it, a known person, a known individual out there,
and Ellen Page,
and you mix in some unknowns, and I think that has a unique quality to it. You got Mary J. Blige,
right,
in the show.
Who I did read an article where she actually trained a lot to be able to do all her own stunts in
really?
It. Yes, and so she is a very interesting character.
So I'm not a huge. I love her music. Mm-hmm. I think she's an amazing musician. I think she still needs to work on her acting.
Oh, yeah. It's a very, bit. Just Mary J. Blige was there.
she's just there and she's delivering her lines. And I think her counterpart in the, they play Cha-Cha and Hazel.
Mm-hmm.
Mary J. Blige
she is Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha. The Hazel. They're contracted killers
mm-hmm.
that go through time and space. I'm not giving anything away.
Nope, you are not.
But I think Hazel's a better actor. He carries her through.
Oh, he is
scenes.
A wonderful character.
Yeah, so he carries her through, which you don't even think that she's not a good actor at that point.
Right.
And again, I love Mary J. Blige as an artist, and more power to her. But it's one of those things where you see a person, and you're like, yeah, I can get behind this character, get behind this actor.
And I do think overall, there is so, the characters and the other actors, I think, have a lot of flavor. If you look at the primary, the people who are the superheroes, and there they go, we'll just go by their number, so again, we're not giving yeah. anything away. If you go by all of the actors that play anyone from number one to number seven, they all are so, like, I felt like it was like a rich broth of them. Like, they all, like, I really got into them, and I'm like, okay, I get it.
They
get
are,
it.
And again, they're the concept is that they're all born on the same day
mm-hmm.
to mothers who are not pregnant that morning
correct.
Of that they gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all adopted. So they call each other brothers and sisters because they grew up that way.
But this one billionaire
right.
weird dude, we'll call him that because I don't want to spoil it for
nope.
that anyway.
Yep.
He goes out, he adopts as many of them as he can,
yep.
ends up with seven, and tells they're going to be superheroes.
Essentially,
mm-hmm.
not knowing anything about them, not knowing if they would
powers.
Have superpowers mm-hmm. or not. You can, one of the characters supposedly doesn't have a superpower. It's an interesting concept. And did right. you ever read, question for you, did you ever read the graphic novels or the
I went back
comics?
And read the graphic
and?
Novels. And I do, but I like these kind of novels. So I was like, okay. And I did enjoy the series enough that it made me go hurry up and look at stuff online and figure it all out. Because I'm all on board. And I do think, you know, it's not official that they're green lighting a second series or a second episode, but I think they would. I think they left it in a way, and you're not here yet, I think they left it in yeah. a way that they were holding out hope that they would do well. I know from reading online, Gerard Way, he has already, like, because there are books and books and books.
Yep.
So he's already given some suggestions on where they think they should go when the next part of the series. He's like, obviously, like, okay, I'm going to back up, you know, as much as I can. But I did think it's interesting. Like, it made me, as someone who was a My Chemical Romance fan, it really made me look into Gerard Way's background, too,
yeah.
and how he was a comic book guy first.
Got it.
And, you know, like, I found some interesting little storylines about him, about how he was working as an intern at the Cartoon Network in the September 11th attacks. And he was all like,
wow.
I need to, like, hurry up and go and do something.
Okay.
And I can't just sit here and
sure.
just wait on things. So he ended up making this band. And instead of going, I'm going to hang out in the basement and talk about being artistic, I actually make some moves.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because I didn't know that he was a comic book art guy
I
first. And it turns out, no, that's what I was doing. And then I also can play instruments and also can be in a band. And then all of a sudden he's My Chemical Romance dude.
Yeah.
And so now it makes total sense. So he's like, yeah.
And I
that
think
was cool. It ran its course, though. I'm back to this.
It's from what I can read, and again, my own preference on what I consume. I would watch a second season just to see where it would go. Again, I'm not done with the first season yet, but I like it enough to binge it the way I like to binge things, which is a couple episodes at a time over, you know, again, it's been a week. Don't hold me against it. You've watched it twice already. The one thing that I did not get to yet that I gave ourselves assignments on what we were going to watch, I did not get to Star Trek Discovery yet.
And that is
my goal. My goal is to finish, and I think I'm going to finish Umbrella Academy this weekend.
Okay.
And then get to Star Trek Discovery.
Because we're at season two of that, and I'm behind. I'm not done with it either. And that was part of the conversation that you and I had, too, is that we were like, you know what? Passing the password is a lot more complicated than we thought. Because the way that you consume content now, and because there are all these splintered content providers. Mm-hmm. So there's all these splintered streaming services, like what's on Hulu, what's on Netflix, what can I get through Amazon Prime? It made me realize, I'm like, oh, wait, I never did download CB All Access, yep, just the app. I did it through Amazon Prime. Right. And so I'm like, and that's what I had meant to do with Stars, because I'm like, one of the things on my list was to watch American Gods.
Yep.
Haven't gotten around to it yet. But I wasn't going to go just get the Stars app. I was going to go through their mini app in Amazon Prime.
So I like the show Billions. And the same thing with Showtime. Like, I got their free app for like a week and I binged Billions.
Right.
And then I'm kind of like, oh, I should go back because it's coming back again. I'm like, I need to go back, either just pay for it or just get a new username, password, and just get a new. Just again, you try to. Again, it's a la carte, and as much as we all think that cable is expensive, a la carte can get really expensive really quick.
And I think that it's going to get more like that. And that can actually lead us into the conversation about just streaming services in general. And part of what we talked about last episode is also what counts as a movie. Is a movie a movie? Should everything be up for Academy Awards in the same pot? Should we differentiate? You know, because we, you know, now a lot of films, it used to be the cream of the crop, or what you were aspiring for, was to be successful in a box office. And it seems like that is slowly pivoting to not necessarily. And one of the articles I was looking for as we were talking about streaming service and what we're doing is that we've been waiting on that new Mutants movie that they've been green lighting and putting down a new. Yeah. So now there was an interview that came out that said, well, now instead of sending it to the theaters, they might just release it on the new Disney Plus streaming service when this Disney Fox thing goes through. And going, is there still honor in that? You know, because so much of what we do now we see that Roma can get an Academy Award nomination. It's, if that's how people want to consume their content now, do we get to be disappointed and go, no, you have to see it in a movie theater?
Back in the day when there was only one option to go watch movies, right? It was theater first.
Right.
And then
eventually.
And then Blockbuster.
Right. Eventually you get a DVD.
Eventually you made it to your household somewhere, somehow.
And if you really didn't see it, eventually you'll come out and you can sit there and wait until it comes on some free TV channel.
Right.
You know, that's what we do.
So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be an interesting next decade.
Mm-hmm.
Almost in discovery, right? Like the discovery of content, and we're grappling with that with the film festival,
right?
On a regular basis, my artistic director and I have these regular conversations on, you know, do we go out there and curate content that would be available the same day,
right?
We showcase it into our festival. Literally the next day, people can consume it on iTunes and Amazon, or do we give a different audience, like our theater-going audience, a glimpse into a film that currently is available on iTunes, but they just don't know about it, or they don't have Hulu, or they don't have the Amazon Prime, and we're showing you a film that is currently available on those streaming platforms.
Right.
But that goes against why we exist as a film festival, which is Discovery, which is, no, these films are currently not available anywhere. However, we do want you to support these independent artists and getting their word out. And independent artists don't really care how many, like what platform, as long as they get as many viewers as possible.
Fair
enough.
So
to you know, for this Mutant project, I just want it greenlit because I want to see it.
Right. Fair enough.
And when it gets greenlit, I will figure out where it is going to live. And then I will see what bandwidth I have to go grab that platform. and consume it, right? So, for example, if this comes out on in a movie theater, mm-hmm. and an average price of a movie theater in the Midwest, right? It depends on where you live, but it's like $10 to $12.
Right.
That's $10 to $12 that I could spend on a movie. Go to it once, or pay $10 for this new platform.
For a month,
right? Like yeah. literally for a month, and then also consume everything else on that platform as well on
right.
top of this particular content. So I can go either way. I'm going to spend my money regardless to watch this movie.
Just it's much more cost effective for you to make your own popcorn too. So
it is. But not at the expense of coming to the movie theater.
Right.
So I don't know. I can go either way with that.
Well, I am with you. I am kind of okay with seeing them however you consume them. Sometimes I enjoy seeing them in the theater just because I like having that destination and that time. Because there are a lot of things that are streaming, just like our Pass the Password. I mean to, and then I don't get around to doing it. When if I go, no, like Captain Marvel, I wanted to see it opening night. I bought my tickets well in advance. I've
yes.
been waiting for them to put, you know, Avengers Endgame tickets on sale so I can buy them ahead of time and know that I get to see them and go, where does this fit into my life?
Correct.
And block out that time and go see that film.
And look forward to that time. It's a vacation. It's
right.
a mini vacation for your mind.
Right.
To just get away from the day-to-day, whatever that is. You look forward to something, and I encourage everybody to have a couple of things every single week that they look forward to, and without besides saying, oh, it's the weekend. Like, no. Other things that are better for your mental health. That's what I want to encourage everybody to do. It's just like two things every single week, and they could differ every single week. They could be the exact same thing, but it could be family time. It could be going to Pizza Hut. It doesn't matter. As long as it brings you mental calmness,
mm-hmm.
that's a vacation.
Well, Jayden, I look forward to you watching the last few episodes of
Me
the
too.
Umbrella Academy so that we can actually talk about it, because there's a few things to be revealed to you and everybody else
I'm
out
excited.
There. I'm excited. Yes, yeah, so and then we can move on to the second season of Star Trek
fair
Discovery
enough.
Together.
And then I'll catch up on the first season first.
Okay, you do that, and then I'll sit here and mark time until you get here. But we have a guest today, and so when we get back, who are we going to talk to?
We're going to talk to one of my really good friends. He's been friends with me for a while. He's an entrepreneur, to say the least, and his newest venture is literally on fire. He's going to talk about anything and everything you need to know about CBD.
Ooh, I'm very excited. So we will be right back on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something. I'm Ms. Shannon. That's Jayden Satia, broadcasting from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios. And Jayden, thank you for bringing our guest today.
You're welcome. Told
me a lot about him. I'm very excited.
Yeah, Steve Brown has been a really good friend of mine, and he is actually started a very, very, very innovative business in a space that we're just learning about a
right.
little bit more in our state, but it's been around for a while in other states. So I want to introduce him real quick. Steve, welcome.
Thank you.
Steve's basically a savant in anything and everything. Hemp and CBD and marijuana. He used to work in an industry in LA and California and in Colorado. And like, so you've been in the part of this industry at one capacity or the other. You're originally from Minnesota.
Yep.
Right. So you left that realm, came back here to started diving more into CBD. So for our consumers, our audiences who are consumers, tell them about what CBD is.
CBD is amazing. It's a cannabinoid oil.
Okay.
And so what CBD is if we look into cannabis, right? So there's THC and then there's CBD. There's over 150 cannabinoids.
Right.
CBD just happens to be one of them. And so there's a lot of data showing that CBD can help out with anxiety, depression, that special time of the month ladies get.
Right.
Menopause and many other ailments out there. The ones that are really studied is going to be your anxiety, PTSD, and inflammation. There's a lot of wonderful studies out there showing how that helps. So the nice thing about CBD is it doesn't get you high.
Right.
Now, if you smoke it, which is interesting, you might get a body feeling.
Okay. So, what do you mean by a body feeling, Steve?
So it's more of a euphoric type of feeling that you're going to get versus a head high. So when you smoke, you know, marijuana, typically you might get the munchies, you might get a little bit high and giddy and funny and laugh a lot, where With CBD, you're going to get more of this body feeling. So your body's going to feel good. So it's a little bit different feeling. I mean, you can, I wouldn't say you can necessarily operate a car on it if you smoke enough of it. But I could definitely say that you could definitely function on your normal daily tasks that you're going to do, like even work. So if you smoked CBD before work to get rid of that stress and anxiety, people tend to choose to do that. So there's many different forms of CBD.
Right.
You can have it as a bath bomb. You could take it as a tincture. You can smoke it like you smoke it marijuana. It actually looks just like marijuana. It even smells like marijuana.
Okay.
The difference is that with CBD, well, hemp plants in general, they'll grow to about 8 feet.
Okay.
And then they take about 5 weeks to actually be ready to cut down and to start processing into either flour or into other type of products, which is interesting, where marijuana can take up to 8 to 12 weeks for the cultivation process. So.
And I'm just fascinated. I honestly was not paying a lot of attention to the hemp industry when things were coming out. Like, I remember when I was living in Austin, there were all these places that were, hey, we sell this particular hemp product, or here's a hemp bag, or here's something that's to that effect. And, you know, or suddenly I remember seeing it in different bath and body works type products and those kind of things. I'm like, what good is that? What is it supposed to do? Like, when you would read that on a label before, what was the benefit to me getting a hemp-based shampoo?
Right? Yeah, great. So it's different. So there's hemp oil, hemp seed oil, and then you have CBD products, CBG, and all these other ones. So each one's going to do something a little bit different. So let's say most hemp products that you're probably seeing, it's going to be omega fatty acids, omega 3, omega 6. So it's kind of like a fish oil, but it's really good for your skin.
Okay.
So that's why they add hemp into those products.
Fair enough. All right. Now, that makes sense.
Now, let's say there's a body oil and you're having like we carry a certain body oil by Siskiyou Sungrown. And basically what you could do is you could take this little roller ball and you can put it on that area. And it's, for me, it's better than Bengay.
So fair enough.
It gets rid of that pain.
Okay.
So depending on the product and the strain. So that's the fun part about CBD or hemp. Is that there are so many different strains. There's an indica, there's a sativa, there's hybrids, just like in marijuana. It just happens to be more CBD than THC in it.
Right.
So the legal definition of a hemp plant is any plant that is under 0.3% of Delta-9 THC, and that's the stuff that gets you high.
Gotcha.
So you could have the same strain. You could have, you know, Sour Diesel as a regular CBD product, or Sour Diesel as a THC strain.
And that is not helping, I don't think, the industry. The fact that they have all these kooky names that I can't keep track of, and they're just like so hip that they just, because I mean, you know, from a family perspective, we've been looking more into what's going on with the medicinal cannabis things. Yep. Because I mean, especially watching the way that had gone, since my son happens to be on the spectrum, I had, you know, some of my parenting groups that were in places like Colorado or in California, I had already heard a lot of anecdotal information from other families that said that their children had done really well using medicinal cannabis versus some of these other medications that are out there. You know, so we had been watching that for a while. So when, you know, I start talking to like people and we say medicinal cannabis, I try to make sure I say medicinal cannabis so that they don't think that I'm out there doing, like, if you call it, you know, something cool.
Sour diesel.
They're like, why are you giving that to your kid? Like, it doesn't, sound right.
I understand exactly what you're saying. It's kind of interesting, but working in the cannabis space. So when I first started working in the cannabis space, I worked on the medical side before it went rec.
Right.
But literally the same strains that you're getting on the recreational side is the same that you're getting on the medical side. So if you walk into a dispensary out in California, you will see that you just got a strain called Sour Diesel.
Right.
But what they need, what they do is actually lay out what that particular strain does.
Right.
So there's a website called Leafly.
Yes.
And Leafly allows you to look at what the strain profiles are and the good effects and the bad effects based on that particular genetics.
Right.
So it actually comes down to the genetics of the plant, and that's why they call them all these different names, because you are going to get a different effect depending on the way that those genetics were put together.
Because I remember asking someone, because we have some friends that that imbibe more often than I do. I was never good at it, well, you know, as a recreational user, because I'm a little paranoid. And every time I tried it, I just exacerbated my paranoia. And they're going, well, that's because you use the wrong stuff. Well, possibly. Well, I don't know what questions to ask. Yeah. I just know that my friend who said try this, I did. It worked out poorly. So, you know, I was trying to do a lot of research that, you know, so that I can make wise parenting decisions based upon what I was doing for my kid. And then watching, you know, like I had some friends that may have had other health issues like Crohn's. And the way that they, you know, they were on it when they were first, like that was added to the medicinal list sooner than autism was. So they were telling me even from the first time they started using it when it was a much higher level of THC and that they've pared it down and found their little sweet spot in there. So I'm like, oh, wait, you don't have to just jump all in and everybody's different, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm starting to see more and more marijuana products being really high amounts of THC.
Okay.
And so for a new user, that's probably not going to be the best feeling.
Right.
In the world.
No,
they're going to get anxiety. Also, too, is people will purchase a sativa at first, which is probably not the best idea either, because sativa is going to give you a bunch of energy, but that also comes with anxiety. Versus like an indica strain, that's going to make you a little bit more on the sleepy side, less irritable. So there's definitely a clear difference between the two. And, you know, when our parents, you know, let's say grew up in the 1960s and, and even, you know, the 70s, the marijuana back then actually had a higher CBD profile than THC. So the THC profile is about 3%.
That's what my mom says, because my mom was super cool. Like, she was super cool and was, like, hanging out and had, like, one of those really cool disco jobs in the 70s. You know, and so she tells me the things that you do, that they have now are – bananas, like just unnecessarily potent. She got to say,
absolutely.
Okay,
I can't personally handle a lot of the marijuana products now. When I know this sounds bad, but in high school, I might have smoked once in a while.
Yeah,
and it was completely different than it is today.
Right.
So even when I go into a dispensary, there are only certain brands that I'm actually going to purchase because of I know what that effect's going to look like, and it's usually going to be a higher CBD type of content of marijuana.
So when consumers, your consumers, because let's talk about Nothing But Hemp, which is your store, when somebody walks into that physical location that you have, what are, and they're brand new, they don't know anything about it. And again, I think you and I talked about how majority of your work is education.
Yes.
It's around CBD, and then you make them feel comfortable. You give them all the answers. You're not there to sell anything. What are some of the things that people are walking into your stores for? What are their underlying reasons?
The number one, I'd say, is anxiety.
Okay.
So I have a lot of doctors that will send people in who have major anxiety issues, and it's either PTSD. I have women who've come in who've unfortunately been raped, and they're looking for a solution to kind of help them manage that those feelings.
Right.
And so CBD, certain strands of CBD help out in that area, like Charlotte's Web, Siskiyou Sungrown. Those are two brands that we carry that a lot of people use for those type of issues.
And that was one of the things that we were discussing, you know, as far as the spectrum goes, is that it versus, you know, when I was reading what could possibly be the side effects of putting him on medicinal cannabis versus putting him on any of these other anti-anxiety medications, I'm like, oh, there's a lot more side effects for the prescribed things versus if the cannabis doesn't work, no harm, no foul. You know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it didn't work. Okay, fine. But I didn't feel like there was something, that laundry list of, you know, maybe he's sleeping too much. I didn't mean for him to sleep that much, you know, or something to that effect. So what do you usually see when your people walk into your store and go, what do I try first?
Yep.
And then what should be my expectation be?
The first question we ask them is, why are you in here today? You know, what's the reason? What brought you to actually wanted to take CBD? And everybody's story is a little bit different. You know, you have the stoner who wants to stop smoking marijuana.
Okay.
And so they're moving to vape pens that have CBD, and it gives them a body feeling without getting them high.
So this is a patch.
What's that?
So this is essentially a patch for them to get off of that, the addiction that they currently have. But this is...
Or it's a transition.
It's a transition.
It's a transition.
So it's an effect that they could have that could make them feel, again, not completely abandoning their addiction, but again, transitioning out of it.
Or maybe it helps them with the positive things that they got from, you know, what they were smoking without a bunch of the negatives. So they're like, okay, well, I don't want to feel, you know, I don't want the euphoria. I can't do anything stuff, but I don't want to be anxious now because I'm so used to that.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Exactly. And that's the most common thing that we see, at least on the smoking side. Then you have those other people who, let's say, have anxiety and they're just done with taking any type of medication. And, you know, they'll always ask us, hey, can I take this with my medication or can I get completely off? And, you know, we naturally have to say you need to talk to your doctor about it. But a lot of people take it and make the decision to wean off over time.
Right.
But that's their own choice if they choose to do that. And it's been very successful for a lot of our customers that come in. I mean, they come in on a monthly basis. They're no longer taking their pharmaceuticals, and now they're taking something that's natural that makes them feel better.
All right, Steve, I need us to take a left for a second. Okay, so we already talked about that, I don't know, sour, what did you call it?
Sour diesel.
Okay. Do you, as a purveyor, have to try and be overly professional, or do you have a fun job? Like, is the industry in such flux that you're like, everybody thinks that we're like, all we do is just sit around and get high movies, like all of those, like, the hazy movie. I can't even remember, but I, you know, yeah, what was that? School Days, you know, does everybody just think it's that?
People think I just watch movies for a living. Like, right. I mean, it's an icebreaker. That's actually what I tell people. It's like, what are you doing in your industry? But no, that's a portion of what I
do. Does your job get to be fun, or do you have to be very forthright and they, because you're so worried, you're trying to destigmatize the cannabis industry?
Actually, it is a very professional environment. So when you walk in, you're going to see chandeliers. You're going to have this very like Apple feel to it when you walk in. And so we want to get rid of that stigma. But we do have fun.
Okay.
I mean, we do have the occasional, you know, marijuana customers that come in and they want to joke around and have fun. And so we might have some conversations and laugh and have fun. But typically it is a professional environment of people who are, you know, 45 plus that are coming in who have real issues that sometimes cry and tell you about their issues.
Right.
And then we have to be there to, we're almost like counselors.
Right.
I mean, it goes beyond just CBD. It's having those really in-depth conversations that are really hard for people.
Well, where's the industry going? Like, is Minnesota in the middle of, you know, if on the spectrum of we're super into it and this, we want to legalize it everywhere too, let's never do it. Where's Minnesota fall?
So here's a really interesting thing. At least there was a bill that they were trying to pass to legalize marijuana, and it didn't go very far. The Republican side basically shut it down, even though the population of Minnesota, I believe, which was 80%, wanted it to be legalized.
Right.
So now we're... I know the public's a little upset right now. They want to figure out a way to make this change. In regards of CBD, the movement in hemp moves so quick that the FDA and the pharmaceutical board is having a hard time shutting down the CBD movement. And they said, you know what, there's nothing we can do at this point in time. We just want to make sure that the products that are out there are safe.
Okay.
So that's their big thing now.
Well, I mean, everybody is getting into it because I remember, and on the websites that I read, and I pulled this up, when I read that Martha Stewart was getting involved in CBD, I'm like, that is like so Martha Stewart-y to me. Because I knew she had some hemp products in her little, like, it, you know, it's good. But she actually went into business with Canopy
Tyler
Growth.
Perry?
No. Canadian pot grower Canopy Growth is who she's with. And so she's in with them. And she's innocent, and the press release was perfect because it was very Martha Stewart. I am delighted to establish this partnership with Canopy Growth and share with them the knowledge I have gained after years of experience. I'm like, that is so, like, it's there. And then there's pictures of her and, like, Snoop Dogg. I think we all were like, of course Snoop Dogg would do it.
Yes.
But when Martha Stewart chimes in, don't we all have to go, how can it not be legitimate? I mean, I know she went to
Oprah
jail.
Next? I mean,
I wouldn't. Gail, you know, Oprah and Gail should have one. That would be funny if Oprah, because she has every other product.
She does.
So it's good. It's good hemp products.
It wouldn't surprise me if majority of the people that we admire, and again, I'm in the entertainment industry, admire as in professionals and really great at what they're doing. I bet, because the majority of these individuals live on the coasts, have some stake in the game already.
Yeah.
Right.
Willie Nelson.
Yes.
Yes. Well, he's front facing with everything.
Montel Williams.
Right, yes. Right. Well, actually, you carry a product that Montel has his face is on it.
Yes. Yep. It's phenomenal. So he suffered from MS,
mm-hmm.
and so he has a THC brand, and he also has a CBD brand. And so we happen to carry a CBD brand, and one's called Alert, and another one's Relax. So depending on the molecules that they're pulling from the plant is going to be the effect that a lot of people get off those products.
Okay.
So people choose to go to his Alert products versus taking Adderall.
Okay.
So it's really interesting. Doesn't give you any heart palpitations. You're not going to get a heart attack off of it. It's pretty amazing.
Are there any studies? Because again, as we talk about, this is still fairly a young industry compared to all the other pharmaceuticals that we know.
Well, that's the funny thing that a lot of people, you know, that is the thought process. A lot of people, if we really look back, 2000 BC is when we started having these hemp products,
okay.
and they were used in almost every Chinese medicine, and they were also used in the early 1900s, and there was 400 medical products that actually had this in it already. And so there was,
and then we said, stop doing that. Make stuff in a lab.
Yep.
Okay. Exactly.
All
but
right.
It goes yeah. even further than that. So you don't want to talk about diversity issues. So in the 1920s, Henry Ford developed a vehicle out of hemp. So it ran off of hemp. It the plastic pieces around it, like the whole body was made off of hemp. There's actually a video on YouTube that shows him trying to smash this car with a sledgehammer, and it would not dent.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing. So the tire and oil companies went to him and said, hey, we'll give you millions of dollars not to put this in production and put your other cars in production. And he said, yes. So then after that, they lobbied with the state, and they called it. They came up with a campaign saying that marijuana and hemp products were a black drug.
Right.
And that it's this horrible, horrible thing, and it makes people crazy.
Yes.
And it will make you rape people and all this stuff. So it was,
and all the reefer madness stuff. I remember reading yeah. about all of those things. And I do think that that's still a lot of the reason why the lobby is so behind versus the alcohol and tobacco lobbies that are out there.
Yep.
So it is interesting when you go, okay, so this is, you know, and that was, I mean, and you know, full disclosure, as a brown person in America, that was part of what I, when I put my, yep. you know, when I was going through the process of should we do the medicinal cannabis, I'm like, oh, we're going to go through the most legitimate route
yep.
ever. Because I had some families that were like, well, we just tried the CBD. And I'm like, first of all, I don't know if I have the background to really make the right determinations and for my kid or what even questions right. what to ask. But I'm also not going to use something that even seems a little bit black market because yep. I have a little brown kid, you know, kind
yep.
of thing. So I'm like, nope, let's go through what the government says is okay and jump through every hoop.
Yeah.
So do you feel like sometimes you're still handicapped based upon those stereotypes from before?
Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. There's definitely some issues. And even with, you know, certain police departments, you know, mm-hmm. we have multiple locations. We have four locations, and in certain locations we will not carry certain products because of the stigma around it, and the police are not educated, and sometimes they don't even want to hear about
right.
you know, the data on how these products actually interact, and they're still thinking that this reefer madness thing, that it's this, you know, addictive property, it's bad for you type of thing.
Right. Well, what is the next goal for you? Like, what do you, you know, so you said you had four locations.
Yep.
So how do you make this grow? Like, and we'll use this example. So we'll say about a year and a half, every corner was popping up a vape store.
Yep.
And you saw vape everywhere. There was all these different things. There was all these commercials. There was all these, every ad in our local newspaper had some sort of vape location.
Yep.
So, but now we've seen now there's other studies that are coming out, and those things seem to be tapering off. Where are you in the life cycle
yeah.
With nothing but hemp in that industry?
You know, this is an emerging industry, and so, you know, they're looking that this industry, the hemp market, should surpass the marijuana market
okay.
tenfold, because people are not getting high off of it, and they're choosing to go this route versus marijuana. So that's the cool thing about the hemp industry. In regards to the way that we're growing through affiliate model that's very similar to CrossFit.
Okay.
So we'll bring on affiliates. We actually become a training company. We're all about education. So our job is to keep on educating our affiliates and, of course, our own corporation. So we're only going to have about six of our own stores, but
okay.
the rest are going to be based on an affiliate model and for us to support those affiliates as we grow. And so we do want to be the fastest growing in the largest, most respected CBD retail brand in the United States, just like how MedMen is in the legal marijuana space.
So when I hear those commercials on satellite program that say, tune into this investment opportunity live seminar with John Boehner, and he's going to tell you how to invest in the cannabis industry. It's the largest. What are they trying to get me to invest in, and how are they taking my money from me, Steve? What are those things?
So if we're talking about the marijuana business, it's mm-hmm. a very interesting area to invest in.
Right.
Okay, so it's not federally legal. Mm-hmm. So anytime that you invest in that, most likely you're going to have to fill out a 280E, which is an illegal document showing that you are investing into an illegal business.
Wow.
You're not going to get a lot of the same tax benefits.
Okay.
Now, will you get a return? Depending on where you're investing. So if it's in Canada, I could see that a return is going to happen. If it's going to be in California right now, you might have some issues because there's still so many illegal stores that are out there where a lot of these cultivating facilities and even dispensaries are starting to fail because people are choosing to buy from the illegal market because they're not taxed at 25% or 35%.
Okay.
So it's a very tough business. So be very cautious in where you're going to invest your money into a cannabis business. It's still the wild, wild west.
Okay.
There's a crossover between the illegal and the legal side of the business. When I was in, the reason why I left my contract, it had to do with seeing the illegal side and the legal side merging together.
Right.
And it was really scary.
Okay.
So it's a tough market. The hemp industry, you're not seeing that same thing. You're seeing a lot more doctors and educators and people that actually have, I would say, degrees. And I don't say that's the number one thing. I don't even have a college degree. But you're
right.
just seeing a little bit – a different level of professionalism in this
right.
space, which is nice. So
I mean, it's like oil and gas.
Okay.
Right? So – it was the wild, wild west back then. Now it's a lot more controlled, and you can actually make your investment back in oil and gas. Nothing that's coming down the pipeline for marijuana and CBD. It's, again, like Steve mentioned, it's all about making sure you yourself as an investor are knowing the risk, right? Investing, regardless of a stock or whatever, is still knowing your risk. And if you don't have enough knowledge before you invest your money, you're more likely to lose that money.
So, Steve, since you're our cannabis geek, what else do you watch? I know you're a parent as well. How many kids do you have?
I have my son and a soon-to-be stepdaughter.
Oh.
So 10 and 7.
Nice.
What actually got me into the CBD world, which is kind of funny, is my fiance was suffering from horrible migraines.
Right.
And when I was in Vegas... she was in Vegas as well, and her migraine was terrible, and her girlfriends were going to meet with her, and they were going to go out and have fun, and it was just horrible. So I said, why don't you try CBD? And she's not a person who'd ever smoked marijuana or anything like that. She tried CBD, and it worked. And
okay.
I was like, oh, my gosh, this business, if it works for her, yeah. why can't this work for somebody else? I actually really see this working, and that's what got me into this. My son has ADHD. The doctor that we work with is highly recommending not to give him CBD,
okay.
which is funny. I disagree, but my former partner is against the CBD. So I'm in this weird space of, well, if she's against it, can I really administrate it on my son?
Fair enough, right?
So right.
Even though I want to, because right. I believe on the natural side, but so that's some of the stigma behind it that I even
because a lot of it is a matter of being, especially when you're like, how do you come to grips on making? Because it has to be consistent, just like any other thing.
Yep.
You know, it's still absolutely. If you're using it as a medicine, you still have to be consistent and use it appropriately.
Exactly.
You know, and the hard part that I'm finding is that the fluffy part of, maybe this much to that much, like the range of going. Am I giving you enough or am not? So you kind of have to just go with it and try for a while and see what works and then don't be afraid to do something else.
Yep.
But I am very fortunate that my ex and I are on the same page on these kind of things.
Because
otherwise it would be difficult.
And it goes back to that personal conversation with every single person you're touching, whether it's for consumers who wanted to buy or even just your family and friends and saying, look, I'm in a business that is legit, first of all.
Right. Yep.
These are the benefits that I've seen. So you almost have to convince from within, and then they spread the word for you. ideal scenario, and I think that's how your business has grown too. It's your consumers, your customers coming, keep coming back, and then they tell their friends and family.
Absolutely.
And they show, again, it's all in like the results. They're showing them that we're no longer taking these medications, and I'm only now substituted with this natural thing. Obviously, it's working, you guys.
Yep.
For me.
Exactly.
So don't spite
everyone's journey just different.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's journey is a little different.
And so. Nothing but hemp. We make sure that all of the suppliers that we're working with are third-party lab tested. We go further than that. We make sure that the third-party lab test they're working with is ISO certified.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the international standard with manufacturing. And so we just make sure that it's from an ISO facility. It's safe. It doesn't have any pesticides inside. And it also doesn't have too much THC, you know, the legal limit. And it has the amount of CBD that it's supposed to have in the bottle. But the interesting thing is you'll usually see on every batch report that most of the CBD products are a little bit higher than what it says on the bottle.
Okay.
So that's the interesting thing. So if a bottle says 500 milligrams, it might actually have 638 milligrams in it. So that's why it's important for the consumers to actually look at that batch information, because it is very difficult to actually put into a vial, you know, the exact amount of 500. So
okay.
Usually go over.
So for anybody who's interested in either learning about nothing but hemp or just diving a little bit more deeper into just the knowledge and education, are there a couple of websites you could recommend for normal consumers to go besides just, you know, Google.com?
Yep.
What are there some direct websites and or
we have a blog? We have a blog on our website. And it's actually from a cannabis writer, and she writes a lot of the blogs that are on there. And there's also a gentleman named Nick. He's from the Minnesota Daily originally.
Okay.
So he is actually one of our writers. So they'll actually conduct a bunch of research on these topics and then write about them right on our blog at nothingbuthemp.net. There's also a lot of European studies that you can Google. That I would highly recommend. So if you're looking at long-term data and studies on CBD, look for those European studies online.
Perfect. Well, we will make sure we check you out. You said it was nothingbuthemp.net?
Correct.
All right, Steve, yeah. I'm sure that there will be other questions that we have as we go down the road, and hopefully your job gets more fun and you can stop being so stuffy.
Yes. It'll be great. That's good.
Stuffy as Steve does not. I don't think I've ever known Steve as stuffy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on the show. And Jayton, we always encourage people to go to your website, TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. I know that we are ramping up for the Actors Expo that is happening later this month.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
At the Hopkins Center for the Arts on Saturday, March 30th, all day, all encompassing, everything to know about acting in Minnesota, on screen, behind the camera. We have agents, we have casting directors, we have filmmakers auditioning. Potential actors for their future projects. So TwinCitiesFilmFest.org is where you find the information out about Twin Cities Actor Expo.
And we are going to do our next episode of Be Our Geek live from the Twin Cities Expo. And I know we also have some fun films that are coming up. And in particular, there is a very geek-related film coming up very soon that actually talks about some of the origins of Dungeons & Dragons. I'm going to be the moderator for the panel that is going on with that. So
yes,
we have lots of fun things.
That information is also on our website. It's going to be fun. I think that thing I'm excited about, that particular screening, it's going to be at the Heights Theater in Columbia Heights. So
we'll make sure that more information is out about that. You can always get a hold of us. You can find us at Be Our Geek on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can email us at BeOurGeek@gmail.com if there's something that you would like us to geek out about. And don't worry, we'll be back very, very soon. We'll see you in a next episode from the Twin Cities Actors Expo.
Keep
right,
on
Jason?
Binging.
Hey, so thank you very much. We appreciate you listening to Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something.